Our reading for today begins in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken into pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So the city of Thyatira should sound familiar to you. If we think back to Acts chapter 16, when we were introduced to Lydia, we find in verse 14 that she was from the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple goods, and she was a worshiper of God. And so that's one of the things that Thyatira was known for, was being a trade hub that had, you know, a lot of trade going on that would be called dyers, or those that would dye the wool and the different fabrics. So purple would be one of them, but not the only one. Just remember that, you know, though we have a great number of colors you can go get your clothing in today, it was not quite that easy in the first century. And so it was a profitable trade. So here you would have a place where you'd have wool workers, linen workers, those that would make the garments. You had those that would dye the garments. You'd have leather workers, tanners, potters. There's all sorts of things that this particular city was known for. So it was a city in which you had different trade guilds within it, and they would put together these things, and then they would be sold there, or probably traded to be sold in other cities. And so it was along an imperial road and had plenty of access to travelers that would be going through. So our reading for today starts off with another proclamation. This is to the church in Thyatira. The words of the Son of God, that's the same. But again, this power of the one who is speaking is described in these figurative terms, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like burnished bronze. Verse 19, "I know your works, your love, your faith, your service, your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first." So he's giving them, again, the commendation, much like he's given to others. And then he comes in with verse 20, "But I have this against you." I thought it interesting that he makes this statement that he says the latter works exceed the first. So I think that's a commendation that they are growing in their works, but they are being troubled then by this one that is mentioned in verse 20. "You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." There's a couple of different views about the name Jezebel being used here. Some view it as being literal and that there was someone named Jezebel among them. And some view it as figurative. Of course, Jezebel was a figure from the Old Testament, and she had a great influence on King Ahab. And it was Ahab that erected an altar to Baal. And of course, we've saw a lot of that conflict going on and her threats toward the prophets of God during those times. So if it's figurative, then it's saying that, you know, it's just as bad. It's such a terrible influence. So this is a progression of the same things that have plagued the Jews from time beginning. And so he makes mention of sexual immorality, idolatry, and this seduction that's going on. But the point is that Anytime, whether it's, you know, figuratively somebody named Jezebel, or if it's a general teaching, or even one person pulling people away toward these things, it was paganism and idolatry being brought into the church, and it's an appeal to the flesh. That's exactly what it is. And so he says, I have this against you, that you tolerate this. You tolerate this teaching, or you tolerate these practices among you. Now, when you get in verse 21, it says, I gave her time to repent. That tends to point toward it being literally one person named Jezebel, or one person that is given a figurative name, Jezebel. I wouldn't be able to give you a definitive answer, but the point is, there was time that was given to repent, and that repentance did not come. And so verse 22, we'll throw her under a sick bed. Those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. So there's a strong condemnation against the fruit of this type of activity that's going on, whether you're looking at that fruit as listed here as her children, or whether you're talking about those that commit adultery with her. The point is that when you don't repent, it's going to be a terrible state for your soul. Sin leads to death. That's exactly what it does. And he says that I will do this, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. I will give to each of you according to your works. But then verse 24, he says, to the rest of you who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. Well, what are the deep things of Satan? Well, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of depth regarding sin, but it may be referring to the deceptive nature in which it is put forth. So whether you're talking, as we've previously, with the Balaams, or you're talking about the Nicolaitans, or now you're talking about Jezebel, any of those that would produce these types of teachings which are opposed to God, they are trying to bring a pollution that will destroy a local congregation if it's not dealt with. And so the problem here in Thyatira is it's being tolerated and it's not being dealt with. So to those who don't do this, though, he says, I don't lay on you any other burden. The burden that he's referring to would be that you don't tolerate this. I think that he's making that pretty clear, that they need to stop tolerating it. So he's saying, even if you're not participating in it, he's not saying that makes you free and clear of all of this. No, he says there's still the tolerating that's going on, and that needs to stop. So verse 26, the one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken into pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. This is not a referral to, you know, some millennial type teaching. This is merely just some figurative language referring to the power of the gospel. And so the rod could be thought of as the truth, the power, the authority of Jesus Christ, that it's irresistible in terms of its truth, even if people don't want to bow the knee to Jesus. They don't want to humble themselves and accept it. And so he says, my power is behind this. And so it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which is absolutely perfect and is the source of life through Jesus Christ. Now, as far as the morning star, we talked about this in our study with Isaiah, the morning star being a bright star in the morning, and it being a symbolism of hope. And so I think that he's talking about hope that he gives to those who would be faithful to him. And so he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow. We'll start in on chapter 3. And please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.